Well, I mean, Bucks and six.
I mean, what else was I supposed to say? We're going to lose and we're going to get swept? I mean, right. Yeah, Bucks and six always. That's for the culture.
What's going on, Bucks fans? We're back with another episode of the Ike Bucks podcast. My name is KJ Eichsett, and we're joined today by a brand new guest, Adam. What's your last name, Adam?
Bartasiewicz.
Adam Bartasiewicz, welcome to the show. A little bit of brief background on him. You know, he is involved with the Bucks. He's involved with the Lakers. He's involved with the Hawks, cultivating relationships around the NBA with players, personnel alike. And, you know, he resides in Milwaukee, so we're going to talk to him a little bit today about some of the most recent happenings on the Bucks. Just want to remind everybody that we are giving away an authentic Nike autographed Chris Middleton jersey. It is unbelievably sick. This thing's worth like $300 at least. We have the certificates of authenticity. Make sure to send us a DM on Ike Bucks for details. That's how you can get involved. Chance to win that. We're going to give our brief thoughts on the All-Star break. We're going to talk about the Bucks since the break, do some good Bucks, bad Bucks, talk a little bit about the trade deadline, and, you know, overall, just everything Bucks. So without further ado, let's get into it. All right, so the Bucks just came off the All-Star break. You know, a lot of players around the NBA were annoyed, to say the least, about the NBA just deciding to have an All-Star game this year. You know, we've heard complaints maybe about the contact tracing, about how guys might not be able to, you know, do some basic things like see their family. But then we're having an All-Star game, and there was a little bit of a pushback on that. Adam Silver wanted to give back to the fans. Like, yes, the fans are a big, important part of this entire NBA enterprise. But there was a lot of players who might not have been as enthusiastic to be there in recent years. Well, that kind of all was dispelled during the All-Star game when we saw Giannis just having an absolute blast, putting on a show, kind of reminding everyone why we watched the game in the first place, just having fun. And Adam, I'm just going to toss it to you, man. Like, what were your thoughts on Giannis in the All-Star game?
I think this year's All-Star game was probably one of the best ones, especially the performance by Team LeBron. I think it was super good for the NBA, too, because it kind of, they all got together, had a good time, kind of, I feel like it felt like normal for most players, just having a good time, laughing, joking, kind of just letting loose, and especially Giannis, that man was dancing, singing on the court, having a good time, hitting step back threes, mm-hmm. and then won the MVP, so I mean, it was super good, or super nice to see him smiling, having a good time.
Yeah, you know, and that's just something that I think in a year like this, everybody needs, you know, just having fun. Having fun with the sport, and whether it's life or whether it's basketball or anything in between, I think everyone would agree that when you enjoy what you do, the results are better. So it was just good to see Giannis having genuine fun out there. Any other thoughts on the All-Star game before we move on real quick?
Not really. It was finally nice to see Giannis get that, even though he's won two MVPs, just competing out again and winning another sort of MVP was just nice to see as well.
Yeah, I mean, every year he brings highlights from the All-Star game, and this year is no different. So, talk about the Bucks since the All-Star break. You know, the Bucks have come out, and they blew out the Knicks. You know, that was like a come-behind win that maybe shouldn't have been as close as it was. And then they got a win against the Wizards on the road after trailing by 10. So that was like a little bit of a mental hurdle for the Bucks to overcome. I mean, Giannis going into the break was playing unbelievable. Coming out of the break, he's picked that right up, having triple doubles in back-to-back games for the first time in his career. And I guess, like, what are your thoughts, you know, just kind of seeing the Bucks since the All-Star break and maybe a few games going into the break, how they've come out of the break? Like, what's your initial reaction? And then maybe we can get a little deeper.
My initial reaction is that they finally look like a complete team. They are playing together. Jrue Holiday, after dealing with all the COVIDs, kind of back full force into the lineup and playing well. The bench is playing super well. Bryn Forbes just shooting the 7-for-7 from three against the Knicks. That was super nice to see. And
yep.
It's just, they're looking like they're coming together at the right time right now.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think the team looks like it's clicking more so than it has really at any other point in the season. On our last podcast, we talked about how the Bucks went from 5-game losing streak, something that we aren't used to as fans, to going right back on a 5-game win streak. And, you know, it's really just like the tale of two different teams. And the, luckily, we had this little all-star break in there. Maybe you guys got a chance to see their family, reboot, reset a little bit. And they've come out of the break with two pretty good wins. You know, granted, the Knicks and the Wizards aren't going to really be there at the end of the day, you know, and even maybe the final eight teams, the semifinals and the conference finals, they certainly won't be there in the finals. I'm going to make that call right now. But you got to take care of the ones that you have to take care of. And the Bucks did that. For me, Giannis is leading by example in the sense where it's not going to be Chris Middleton leading this team to the promised land. It's not going to be Jrue Holiday leading this team to the promised land. Like, those guys are both championship caliber players, but really it's going to be Giannis leading the team to the promised land. And just to see him, you know, sprinting through the court, slashing through the lanes, attacking the basket, like he almost, you know, he was doing this all throughout his career, and it maybe there was like a little bit of a lull in there where something seemed a little off. Maybe it was the confidence shaken after back-to-back playoff collapses, but Giannis looks good right now, and ultimately that's super important to me because he's our team leader. No matter how people want to slice it or dice it, the franchise is going to go as Giannis goes. Like, Chris Middleton, you know, he's probably like a top 20 player. Jrue Holiday, he's probably like a top 25, 30 player. But Giannis, he's a back-to-back MVP. So those guys, Chris Middleton and Jrue Holiday, are amazing, and we're so fortunate to have them on the squad. But really, it's all going to come back to Giannis. And it's good to see him playing well. Back-to-back, triple, doubles. That's always exciting. Let's talk some good Bucks, bad Bucks. This is one of our favorite segments. The fans always love this one too. And in this segment, we usually, generally we like to keep it positive. But this is our segment to talk about something positive that's going on with the Bucks, and also keep it objective. Talk some bad Bucks, something bad that's been going on with the Bucks. So, Adam, I'm just going to kick it to you, man. Let's talk some good Bucks. Give us some good Bucks.
The good Bucks is definitely the bench play. I mean, Pat Connaughton, DJ Augustine's finally starting to shoot the ball well, which is exciting to see. He may not score 7-8 points a game, but shooting 1-for-1, 2-for-2, or 3-for-3, what's he doing is, I mean, still better to see than shooting the 34% he was. Bryn Forbes is playing well. Bobby's continuing to play strong. And then their guards' ability to rebound the basketball has also been super helpful to this team. I mean, Dante last night grabbed a bunch of boards. And that's something that's going to be super important in the playoffs is guard play and your ability to get a rebound. And the Bucks have been doing a great job at that and will continue to do a great job of that.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think kind of like the eye test, I'd have to go back and look into the pace metrics, but it seems like the Bucks are playing faster off the rebound. You know, maybe not like every single play they're playing faster, but like if the opponents miss, back 2 years ago, 2 years ago when Coach Bud first instituted this offense, how he kind of like unleashed the team and started letting them run and shoot and run and gun. It's like we're getting back to that a little bit where we almost kind of put a lot of emphasis on the half-court offense, rightfully so, as we're going to be utilizing that more in the playoffs, especially as we get deeper. But I like kind of like you were saying about Dante grabbing boards, like Giannis grabbing boards, like the guards rebounding in general. It's really just letting us play faster and let Giannis go full sprint straight to the rack. And if he doesn't do that, let him dish it to someone who can knock down a three like Bryn Forbes. So that is good to see the bench playing well. Shout out to those guys. We're going to need them, especially as the playoffs draw near. Pat, Bobby, all them. I'm going to go with my good Bucks, big three on the court together. You know, like the Bucks, maybe part of this funk is that they were in prior to the All-Star break is that Jrue Holiday wasn't playing, and that maybe left the Bucks without like a primary ball handler. Like, you know, last year they had Eric Bledsoe, the year before they had Eric Bledsoe, you know, Brandon Knight, Carter Williams, even Giannis. But really Jrue Holiday is probably the premier ball handler of all those names I just listed. And him being out, you know, maybe threw off the rhythm of the team and just threw off the basic smoothness to the offense. And so him being back, you can kind of just see that Chris is kind of settling into his role a little more. Giannis really just looking comfortable about out there. You mentioned the bench is playing a lot better. So just to see the big three on the court together, it's important now more than ever just because it is a shortened season. We are about halfway through, and the playoffs are in our sights now. So with that being said, Adam, let's take it to the other end of the spectrum where we're objective about the squad. Give us some bad Bucks, something that the Bucks could improve upon or do better with.
My bad Bucks is going to be Chris Middleton finally came down to earth. He started the year scorching hot, shooting the ball, that 40, 50, 90 club.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not struggling, but he's coming back to like being a normal shooting guard, small forward, just kind of maybe not playing as he was. But, I mean, every player has a slump. So, I mean, just a couple games into March, shooting a little less from three. But, I mean, that's fine. We're still winning as a team. He will pick it up. I mean, he's been here. He's been doing this for a while. Come playoff time, he has the experience now, and he's going to be super instrumental in helping the Bucks get over the hump in the playoffs.
Yeah, I know Chris Middleton, like you said, he was going crazy to start the season, and naturally he might not have been able to keep up quite those flammable numbers. Just a quick reminder, we are giving away that Chris Middleton jersey. Don't miss out on that. But like you said, you know, we're very, very confident that Chris is going to be there in the playoffs. I'm looking at his playoff stats right now. Regardless of what he does in the regular season, you know, he's earned his stripes. But playoffs 2017-18 season, he was averaging 25 points a game, shooting 61% from three. That's unbelievable. You know, 2019 playoffs, he averaged 17 points a game, not quite as good, but still very good, shooting 43.5% from three. That's unbelievable. And then last year when Giannis was out and it was basically Chris Middleton versus the Heat, he averaged 20 points a game and single-handedly won us that that one game to keep us in the series for a little longer. So Chris, I'm confident he's gonna be around in the playoffs to make an impact. Yeah, you know, it's just almost like a blessing in disguise that we have all these guys. If Chris isn't doing great one night, Bryn Forbes can come in and light it up. Bobby Portis can come in and light it up. Jrue Holiday, I mean, Giannis can rack up a triple-double. This Bucks team just has a lot of options.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a good thing. So I guess my bad Bucks is the Milwaukee Bucks record against teams below 500. Or sorry, above 500. And so NBA fans, I'm gonna list off these stats real quick. The Milwaukee Bucks are 8-10 against teams 500 and above, which means essentially like you get past the first round where you might play a team like the New York Knicks or the Detroit Pistons or the Atlanta Hawks or the Charlotte Bobcats, you know, a team that you just sweep or handle in five games. Well, then, as we've seen over the last couple of years, the second round gets much, much, much more difficult, whether that was the Boston Celtics, where we got smacked in the mouth a couple of years ago and then ended up sweeping them, or last year when the Miami Heat smacked us in the mouth again and we just couldn't recover. The second round is when it gets real, so to speak. And so that record versus teams 500 above is very, very important. I would say don't sleep on the Toronto Raptors, because even though they're in the 10th spot at recording this podcast, their record versus teams 500 above is 10-13, and with the Bucks being 8-10, those are very similar records despite the overall difference in their overall records. And the main reason for that is the Bucks are 16-4 against teams below 500. So essentially, we take care of business versus the bad teams, but we all know it's not about the bad teams in the playoffs. It's about winning a championship. And what makes me nervous is a team like the Brooklyn Nets. They're the best in the NBA. They're 16-5 against teams 500 and above. So that's, you know, a very, very, very interesting indicator. The Philadelphia 76ers are 12-7 versus teams 500 and above. And you look at the West, those are the only two teams in the East with records above 500 versus teams with 500 records or above. You look at the West, you got the Jazz, they're 17-7. The Phoenix Suns are 14-6. And the Los Angeles Lakers are 11-10, and the Denver Nuggets are 12-10. There's only six teams in the entire NBA with records above 500 versus teams with other records above 500. So whereas the Bucks right now stand 8-10, we know that they're going to be playing a team with a record above 500 as they get to the conference semifinals, as they get to the conference finals, and surely when they get to the NBA Finals, which we hope that happens. Adam, I'm just going to bounce it to you, man. Like, what are your thoughts on that eye-opening stat?
I mean, it is surprising to hear that stat. It come playoff time, that's very just important. I mean, talked about the Nets, how they're 16-4, what. It's going to be hard. The second round is hard. I mean, Celtics are going to be there. The Heat, again, the Heat have been playing well.
They're in the four spot.
Yeah, teams like that are going to, can easily, not easily, but they're going to give you a fight to go to the Eastern Conference Finals, and that is something to definitely look out for, especially with how good the NBA is right now. There's a lot of good teams, so, I mean, no one's really safe. Even the Nets, they should be, I mean, they're playing well, but you're going to have to watch out that second round matchup.
Yeah, so kind of to expand off that, I've said in previous episodes that I think it's a four-team race ultimately. I think it's going to come down to the Bucks, the Nets, the Clippers, and the Lakers. And I want to know, like, straight up contenders or pretenders, like, do you think there's more than four contenders in there? Or do you think, would you add any other teams to the mix? Maybe like a Philly, maybe like a Miami, maybe even a Toronto. I mean, like, we've seen what that team can do, even though they're out of the playoff picture right now. What about even like a Utah Jazz or a Denver Nuggets? Like, do you, or even a Golden State Warriors? They're out of the playoff picture. But like, do you think any of these teams could be a contender in addition to the Bucks, Nets, Lakers, and Clippers? Or do you think it's kind of like a four-team race? Just curious about your thoughts.
I would say in general it's a four-team race. On the West, I would throw in the Jazz though. And the reason I say that is because, I mean, we've seen the Lakers without AD now, and they have struggled. Mm. They still are obviously a top team, but they have shown that they, how much they need Anthony Davis. And so, I mean, the Jazz, they're playing out of their mind. They have 5, 6, 7 guys that can put the ball in the hoop and really play well. And not only that, they're playing as a team. They're just playing some great basketball. The Sixers, I would put them as, they're definitely going to be up there.
Yeah.
But I don't see them making the finals. Joel Embiid just got hurt. So that is going to be a hard 2-week or however long he's out stretch for them. I'm hoping that the Bucks and the Nets get the, one of them gets the one seed. That way they can play each other in the Eastern Conference Finals versus having to play each other to go there.
Yeah, no, we really need to get that 1 or 2 seed. Right now, the Bucks are 2 games out of the first spot in the East. We have no doubt they can get there. So we'll just see if the team does what they need to do to do that. So, Adam, the NBA trade deadline is March 25th, and that's rapidly approaching. So let's tell Bucks fans out there, you know, we have traded a lot of assets over the years. Nikola Mirotic, we gave up like 4 second rounders to get him. He's gone, obviously. You know, Eric Bledsoe, traded first rounder to get him, traded Greg Monroe to get him. He was facilitated in that Jrue Holiday deal, along with 5 first round picks. There's not a lot of assets the Bucks have right now, but even so, they're always looking to improve. And with the trade deadline rapidly approaching, let's talk about a few of these names about realistically maybe the Bucks could bring in. And first name on the list, PJ Tucker, Houston Rockets. What are your thoughts on him?
I do like him, especially because he plays a big and mm-hmm. he can shoot the ball. So, I mean, Milwaukee's mindset is spread out the floor, have shooters. So you definitely need a big guy that can shoot the ball. And Bobby Portis, I would say, he does play center, but he's a true power forward. So bringing in another guy definitely is going to help, especially a guy that's a vet like PJ Tucker.
You know what's interesting, kind of expanding off your point, is I would almost argue that Bobby Portis, like, you could absolutely say he's a forward, but like, he almost has like the toughness to where he could play a 5. Like, not mm-hmm. every guy with his measurements could play a 5, but like, he's not as maybe built or wide as Giannis is. Obviously, he's not as big as Brooke, but like, what Bobby Portis lacks for in any, you know, body size, he makes up with in toughness. Like, he will not back down to anyone. So I actually think I would like to see maybe him play at the 5 a little bit and just see how fast we can really go. But thing about PJ Tucker is he's not happy in Houston. You know, he's got a really, really, really bad year right now, and that's a good thing because we can buy low. Mm-hmm. But it's also just like an indicator that he's going to be traded. He's a career 36% shooter from 3. You know, he played really, really, really well in Toronto a few years back against the Bucks. You know, he's been really good in Houston, just doing all those little things in the box score that contending teams end up having. So PJ Tucker is definitely one of those names who Bucks might be interested in adding. What about Wayne Ellington from Detroit?
Wayne Ellington, I've also heard that one. I'm not really big on Wayne Ellington. He's had a pretty decent year, but I think we're pretty much good at the guard spot right now, unless you get a significant upgrade or someone with a lot of playoff experience.
Yeah, Wayne Ellington, he's a career 38% shooter from three. He's actually shooting 42% this year. And, you know, it's kind of interesting because a lot of people have said that maybe the lack of fans has allowed these players to just shoot in open gyms like it's practice. You always would hear these stories in practice about guys like Steph Curry knocking down like 60 straight threes or something like that. I think before the draft one year, Porzingis made like 30 straight threes and that saw his stock go way up. But Wayne Ellington this year, he's shooting 42% from three. How much of that is sustainable and a big stage in the playoffs? We'll see, but it's a good number. Lastly, how about Alec Burks, Adam?
Alec Burks is a guy I love. He can really put the ball in the hoop. I did want them to go after him in free agency before the season started. I mean, he's factors in definitely to the Knicks' success this year. Obviously, the Knicks aren't really going to be there down the road, but they're bouncing around. They're in the playoffs right now. I don't think a lot of fans or NBA fans in general just expected the Knicks to do what they did or are doing, and I think Alec Burks is a big reason why.
Yeah, if I'm looking at Alec Burks, Bucks fans, he's a career 37% shooter from three, but his numbers this year are kind of right in line about what he's going to give you. So you don't really have to worry about him being like a fluke or being like a, you know, and super volatile. I think you're going to know what you're getting with Alec Burks. And, you know, his career average is about 10 points a game. This year he's averaging 11.5. Career average is 3 rebounds a game. This year he's averaging 4. Career average 2 assists a game. He's right around there. And he's shooting a little better this year than he has in years past. So he's one of those guys. You know, all three of these guys aren't going to cost the moon. Ultimately, the Bucks don't want to surrender Dante. Like, we don't want to surrender. We really don't have many more assets to surrender. You know, maybe we could do something like some second rounders, maybe like a DJ Wilson going out, something like that to make the salaries work. And we'd have to almost hope that we could, like, purchase those second rounders back in the time of the draft, because you don't want to be one of those teams who doesn't draft a player in like 3 years and then just crater when your lack of talent goes out the window. So if you were to pick any of those three guys you just mentioned, Adam, who would be your favorite of the three and then that you would want the most, and who do you think would be the most realistic, like most likely would actually get to the Bucks?
My favorite would definitely be Alec Burks. Just big fan of him. The most realistic one is going to be PJ Tucker, just because Houston has said that they will be moving him in the next week and a half before this deadline. And realistically, the Bucks, they have clamps on their salaries right now. So he is someone that could fill in that role, and you're going to see maybe a DJ Wilson leave, DJ Augustine maybe part of that. But he's someone that realistically could fit their like front office with his contract and things like that.
It could actually work, you're saying?
Yeah.
Absolutely. So that pretty much wraps everything up that we wanted to talk about today. Adam, do you have any final thoughts, man? Anything we forgot to talk about you want to maybe get in real quick?
Not really. I mean, Torrey Craig, he's seen a couple more minutes. That's exciting to see. He's a good defender. Another guy that's going to be super helpful in the playoffs. Bucks are playing good right now in March to start it off after our All-Star break. It's nice to see. Hopefully we can keep that rolling.
Absolutely. I mean, the expectation remains the same, and that means a championship. There's no room for anything less this year. We got to get to the finals, and then we got to win that championship. So I just want to thank everybody for listening, Bucks fans. I want to thank Adam for coming on the show for his first time. I thought he did really well. You're going to have to let us know what you think in the comments and the DMs. But make sure to subscribe, tell a friend, and don't forget to send us a DM for all the details on how you can win that Chris Middleton autographed jersey. We're on Spotify. We're on Apple Podcasts. We're everywhere you can get your podcasts. And Bucks fans, I just want to thank you guys We actually debuted in the Apple Podcast Top 100 this past week at number 63 for all basketball podcasts in America. And that is truly unbelievable. It just shows, you know, as this podcast grows, as this brand grows, all you listeners, you guys are making a difference. And it encourages us to just keep giving you guys good content, you know, just keep working hard for you guys, keep supporting the team, keep giving you guys unbiased analysis from boots on the ground in Milwaukee. We believe in this team big time. We think they can go all the way. We think Giannis can take us to the promised land, and we're going to be with you guys every step of the way. So until next time, Bucks fans, we're out.